The Mahabharata, chapter 93, the Pandavas reproached. When the war was nearing its end, Balarama arrived at Kurukshetra after completing his tour of holy places. He came just when Bhima and Duryodhana were engaged in their last mortal combat. He saw Bhima aiming the deadly blow which broke Duryodhana's thighs, and his anger flamed up at this great breach of the rules of single combat. Fie upon you all! Would any kshatriya hit below the navel? This Bhima has offended the law most disgracefully. He exclaimed, and impatiently going up to his brother Krishna shouted, You can look on and tolerate all this, but I cannot bear to see such unclean fighting. Saying this, he advanced towards the offending Bhima with upraised plough. The plough was Balarama's weapon on supreme occasions, as the discus was Krishna's. Krishna was alarmed when he saw his elder brother advancing in a passion towards Bhima. He rushed forward, intercepting him, said, "The Pandavas are our friends, closest relations. They have been the victims of insufferable wrongs at the hands of Duryodhana. When Draupadi was insulted in the assembly hall, Bhima vowed, I will one day in battle break the two thighs of Duryodhana with this mace and kill him. He proclaimed the solemn oath at that time, and everyone has known it. It is the duty of a kshatriya to fulfill the vow he has solemnly taken. Do not let your anger mislead you. Do not be unjust to the innocent Pandavas. You should, before condemning Bhima, take into account all the wrongs that the Kauravas have done to the Pandavas. Nothing but error can result if one proceeds to judge conduct without taking into account the chain of events leading up to it. You cannot snatch a particular act out of its context and proceed to give judgment on it alone without gross injustice. The era of Kali has arrived, when the laws of a previous age cannot apply. It was not wrong for Bhima to strike below the navel an enemy who had wickedly contrived against his life on many occasions. It was because of Duryodhana's foul instigation that Karna sent a shaft from behind and broke Abhimanyu's bowstring when he was defending himself against heavy odds. Arjuna's young son was attacked by numerous warriors who surrounded him when he stood all by himself in the field. Deprived of bow and chariot in a most cowardly manner, they killed him. Duryodhana thought evil and practiced deception from the time of his birth and has brought about the destruction of his own people. There is no sin in Bhima killing this man. Bhima bore the wrongs done and kept his wrath within himself for 13 long years. Duryodhana knew well that Bhima had sworn to break his thighs and kill him. When he challenged the aggrieved Pandavas to battle, he knew very well that he invited Bhima to make good his oath. How can you think it was wrong for Bhima to do this? Krishna's words did not change Balarama's opinion, but his anger subsided. Duryodhana will attain the happy regions reserved for the brave. Bhima's fame has been tarnished for all time. It will be said among men that the son of Pandu broke the laws of war in attacking Duryodhana. It will remain forever a great blot on his good name. I hate to stay here any longer." So saying, the indignant Balarama immediately left for Dwaraka. "Yudhishthira, why this strange silence?" asked Krishna. "O Madhava, it hurt me to see Bhima leap on cousin Duryodhana's mortally wounded body and trample on his head. I see the end of the glory of our race. We were wronged by the Kauravas. I know the full measure of grief and anger in Vrikodara's heart and don't wish to blame him beyond reason. We have killed Duryodhana, who has afflicted by incontinent greed and poverty of understanding. What boots it now to debate the ethics of it nicely, or to weigh the propriety of a much wronged man's revenges?" Yudhishthira was greatly oppressed in mind. When men transgress the law, extenuations and excuses are of no avail in giving mental satisfaction. Arjuna, of penetrating intellect, was silent. He did not show approval of Bhima's act, nor did he say anything by way of detraction. The rest of the people who were there were, however, loud in condemnation of Duryodhana, were reminding one another of all his misdeeds and errors. Krishna turned towards them and said, "Warriors, it is not meet we go on declaiming against an enemy who has been defeated and is lying mortally wounded. We should not speak ill of a dying man. He was stupid, brought about his own end. He fell into the company of bad men. He was ruined. Let us go." Duryodhana, who was stretched on the ground in intense agony, when he heard Krishna say this, went into a paroxysm of rage. He half raised himself on his arms in spite of the excruciating pain and exclaimed, "Wretch, son of a slave, was not your father Vasudeva Kamsa's slave? You have no business to sit or move with princes. You speak like a shameless wretch. I saw you instigate Bhima to aim his blow at my thigh. Do you think I did not see you making as though casually talking to Arjuna, pointing to your thigh, but really indicating to Bhima that he should strike me on the thighs, disregarding the laws of single combat? Till then, it had been equal battle. You have neither pity nor shame. Did you not contrive the death of the grandsire Bhishma through stratagem? You advised Sikandin to be placed in front when attacking Bhishma, knowing that the grandsire would scorn to fight a woman and would let himself be mortally wounded without resistance. You brought about the end of Dronacharya through making Dharmaputra utter a falsehood. You were the father of the deadly lie that issued from Yudhishthira's mouth and made Dronacharya throw his bow away. You did not look on without protest and rejoiced when that wretch Drishtadyumna attacked, killed the Acharya who had stopped fighting, throwing away his weapons, and settled down in yoga posture for meditation on the Supreme. You wickedly contrived to make Karna hurl the fatal spear at Ghatotkacha instead of reserving it for Arjuna, as he had all along resolved to do. O great sinner, surely it was you who instigated Satyaki to butcher Bhurishravas when his right arm had been foully cut off, and he stopped fighting and spread his arrows for a seat for holy meditation. It was you who brought about the death of Karna by inducing Arjuna to attack him in a cowardly manner. When he was engaged in lifting his chariot wheel, which had sunk and stuck in the mud in the field of battle, oh, worthless man, sole cause of our destruction, the whole world has condemned your act when, by sorcery, you made it appear as if the sun had set and made Jayadratha, the Sindhu king, believe that the day was over and he was past danger, and thus he was slain when he was off his guard. Thus did Duryodhana pour his denunciation against Krishna, and then, exhausted by the pain of his wounds and the violence of his rage, he fell prostrate again. Son of Gandhari, said Krishna, why do you let your anger add to the pain of your last moments? It is your own misdeeds that have brought about your end. Do not attribute it to me. Bhishma and Drona had to die on account of your sins. So also were you the cause of the death of Karna and others. Need I recount all the wrongs that you were guilty of against the sons of Pandu? What punishment can be too severe for the great outrage you inflicted on Draupadi? The animosities and passions that resulted from your misdeeds cannot be made ground for condemning others. All the deceptions and lapses you charge us with were forced on us by reason of your wicked conduct. You have paid off on the battlefield the debt incurred by your greed. But you are dying the death of a brave man. You will go to the happy regions reserved for Kshatriyas who lay down their lives on the battlefield. Krishna, I go to Swarga with my friends and relatives, but you and your friends will live on earth to suffer, said the stubborn Duryodhana. I studied the Vedas. I have given gifts ordained by law. I have reigned supreme over all the sea-girt earth. While I lived, I stood upon the humbled heads of foes. All human joys, such joys as even the gods cannot despise, and kings sigh for in vain, the very pinnacle of power were mine. Dying now, such death as warriors deem the crown of Kshatriya life, I go to meet in heaven my friends and brothers gone before, eager to welcome me. Who is more blessed, I or you, who doomed to linger here mourning for slaughtered friends in desolate homes, find the long sought triumph but ashes in your mouth? Thus said Duryodhana, and the gods showered flowers down on the dying warrior. The Gandharvas played music. The sky was illuminated. Vasudeva and the Pandavas felt small. There is truth, said Krishna. There is truth in what Duryodhana said. You could not have defeated him by fair means. This wicked man was invincible in battle.
Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurtara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvani Tirmatirmama.
The Mahabharata chapter 94, Ashwathama. When Ashwathama heard how Duryodhana lay mortally injured and learnt the details of the combat, his righteous anger swelled like the sea. The deception practiced by the Pandavas in order to bring about his father's death had been rankling in his mind. Now, when he learnt how Duryodhana had been stricken down mortally against all rules of chivalry, he went to the spot where Duryodhana was lying and there took an oath that he would that night send the Pandavas to the abode of Yama. Duryodhana, who was in the last physical agony of departing life, was transported with joy when he heard Ashwathama take this oath. He immediately ordered those who stood nearby to install Ashwathama as supreme commander of the army with due ceremony, and when that was over, said to him, "All my hopes are in you." It was sunset. The forest was in utter darkness when under a big banyan tree, Kripacharya, Kritavarma, and Ashwathama halted for rest. They were so greatly fatigued that Kripacharya and Kritavarma fell fast asleep as soon as they lay down. But Ashwathama did not get sleep, for sorrow, indignation, and hatred burnt within him. He was listening to the noises that the nocturnal birds and prowling beasts began to make as the night advanced, as he was turning over in his mind how to execute his promise to Duryodhana. On the branches of the banyan tree under which the three warriors were resting, hundreds of crows roosted. They were all quiet and asleep until a big owl came and began to attack the birds one after another and kill them. When Ashwathama saw the nocturnal bird of prey tear the helpless crows, he got an idea. The crows that could not see at night flew round and round helplessly and fell victims to the owl that attacked them violently. "These wicked Pandavas and the Panchala that killed my father and all their supporters can easily be killed by us if we surprise them. When they are sleeping in their tents at night, even as this owl is attacking these blind crows, thus can I avenge the deeds of foul play they have practiced on us. I am deeply bounden to this bird of prey whom I have received a teaching. There is no offense in adopting plans to suit one's altered circumstances. If we can lawfully attack an enemy when his army is tired or when his forces are scattered, why then should not we who have lost our armies attack our enemies when they are asleep? There can be nothing wrong in it. Indeed, it is only thus that we can punish and defeat these Pandavas who have achieved success through foul play. We have no other course open." Ashwathama made up his mind and he immediately woke up Kripacharya and informed him of his plan. Kripacharya, who heard it, was astonished. "This can never be. It is wholly wrong. To attack men who have retired to sleep has never been done before. It would be an unprecedented crime against the laws of Kshatriya conduct. Ashwathama, for whom are we fighting now? The man for whose sake we joined in this war has been fatally wounded. His end has arrived. We have discharged our obligations most loyally. We fought our best for the greedy and wrong-headed Duryodhana, but we fail irretrievably. There is no purpose now in our continuing the fight, and it is folly to do so. Let us go to Dhritarashtra and the faultless Gandhari and place ourselves at their disposal. Let us take counsel of wise Vidura also. They will tell us what lies before us to do. When Kripacharya spoke thus, Ashwatthama's grief and indignation increased, and he spoke bitterly. Everyone feels sure that what he thinks is the only right and proper thing to do. One's understanding naturally limits one's vision. These Pandavas have been guilty of the foulest conduct. They killed my noble and trustful father through a lie. They have killed Duryodhana against the laws of chivalry. I have no doubt in my mind that what I propose to do is quite proper. For all their foul deeds, it is only if I carry out this plan that I can possibly repay my debt to my king and to my father. I have decided on it, and I do not propose to alter my plan. I am going tonight to the tents where they are sleeping, having cast off their armor, and there I will kill the Pandavas and Drishtadyumna while they are asleep. Kripacharya was deeply grieved to hear Ashwatthama speak thus. You have attained a great name among men. Your spotless character will by this be blemished, even like a milk-white cloth bespattered with blood. Never could it be right to kill sleeping men. Desist from this.
Sir, what are you talking? These Pandavas butchered my father when he had thrown away all his weapons and he had sat down in prayer. These men have breached the embankment of Dharma and released the flood. Not a drop of Dharma is now left. Karna, who was on the ground putting right the wheel of his chariot, was murdered by these lawless rascals. Bhima has killed Duryodhana with a blow below the navel. What dharma has been left for us to follow? The Pandavas have once for all destroyed the barrage of dharma. Why should we make research into law and chivalry when dealing with these ruffians who have attained successes by destroying both? If by killing the sleeping Panchalas who butchered my great father, I may be doomed to rebirth in the body of a foul bird or of a wriggling worm, I do not care. I seek such a birth. Saying this, and without waiting for an answer, Ashwatthama proceeded to harness his horses, get his chariot ready to start. When he was about to leave, Kripacharya and Krithavarma cried, "Stop! What are you resolved upon doing, Ashwatthama? We cannot approve of it, but neither can we desert you in your desperate enterprise. The path you are bent on treading, we shall also follow. The sin you resolved upon, let us share also." So they went along with him. Thus does evil grow. One transgression begets the next, and thus evil grows from evil, submerging righteousness. Evil flourishes on retaliation. They reached the Pandava camp. Drishtadyumna had doffed his armor and was plunged in deep slumber in his tent. Ashwatthama leapt on the sleeping warrior, and before Drishtadyumna could put himself into a posture of defense, cruelly kicked him to death. The same process was relentlessly repeated until all the Panchalas and all the sons of Draupadi were killed one by one when they were plunged in sleep in their tents. After having done this deed, the likes of which had never before been considered possible among Kshatriyas, Kripacharya, Krithavarma and Ashwatthama came out of the tents and set fire to the camp. When the fire spread, the sleeping soldiers were awakened and fled hither and thither in confusion. Even like the crows on the banyan tree under which they had rested in the forest. And they were mercilessly slaughtered by Ashwathama. "We have done our duty," said Dronacharya's son. "Let us go give the glad news to Duryodhana if we can reach him, that is, before he expires. Let him die pleased." The three of them accordingly hurried to Duryodhana.
Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurtara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Thruvani Tirma Tirmama.
The Mahabharata, chapter 95, Avenged.
O Duryodhana, you are yet alive. Hear the news and rejoice. All the Panchalas have been slaughtered. The sons of the Pandavas have also been all done to death. The entire army of theirs has been destroyed. We made a night attack on them when they were asleep. There are only 7 survivors now on the Pandava side. On our side, Kripacharya, Krithavarma and I remain. Thus said Ashwathama to the dying Duryodhana, who, on hearing this, slowly opened his eyes and with struggling breath gasped out these words.
"Ashwathama, you have indeed done for me what neither the great Bhishma nor the valiant Karna could achieve. You have gladdened my heart. I die happy."
Saying this, Duryodhana expired. When he saw the unexpected destruction of his army as a result of the attack during sleep, Yudhishthira gave way to grief and broke down.
"At the very moment of victory, we have been totally defeated. The vanquished have indeed triumphed. Draupadi's children who survived the onslaught of the formidable Karna have by our unwariness been crushed and destroyed like vermin. We have allowed ourselves to be destroyed like a merchant ship which, having successfully crossed the big seas, returns home but capsizes in a ditch and is lost." Draupadi was overwhelmed by inconsolable grief. She came to Dharmaputra's side and wept.
"Is there no one to avenge my children's slaughter by destroying this great sinner, Ashwathama?" she cried.
When she said this, the Pandavas immediately went out in search of the murderer. They looked for him in all sorts of places and found him at last on the bank of the Ganga, hiding himself behind Vyasa. When he saw the Pandavas and Janardana approaching, Ashwathama quietly took up a blade of grass and charged it with a mantra of destruction and sent it forward, saying, "May this destroy the race of the Pandavas." And it went straight to the womb of Uttara, who bore in her the son of Abhimanyu. The race of the Pandavas would have been destroyed thereby, but for the intervention of Sri Krishna, who saved the child in the mother's womb. This child was Parikshit, who was later crowned by Yudhishthira when the Pandavas retired to the forest. Ashwathama prized out the shining jewel which was part of his head, gave it to Bhima
acknowledging his defeat, and went away to the forest. Bhima took the great jewel. Going to Draupadi, said,
"Angel of spotless purity, this is for you. The man who killed your beloved sons has been vanquished. Duryodhana has been destroyed. I have drunk the blood of Dushasana. I have avenged the great outrage and discharged my debts."
Draupadi took the jewel and, going up to Yudhishthira, bowed and said, "Faultless king, it befits you to wear this in your crown."
Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara Tatra Sri Vijayobhutir Dhruvani Tirmatirmama.